at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Audrey Strong.
The bottom line is that we've allowed the Russians and the Iranians to prop us up. We should have done this years ago.
Senator Lindsey Graham is blasting a new Obama administration plan that reportedly involves arming Syrian rebels. The South Carolina Republican was asked by Fox News today if he thinks the president's plan will work. Graham says nobody in the region believes Obama has their back.
The problem the president has, he drew a red line against Assad, didn't back it up, he withdrew from Iraq. So this is probably more bluster than anything else.
According to the Wall Street Journal, the CIA is preparing a plan B to supply anti-aircraft weapons to moderate rebels if the current truce in Syria collapses. Graham, a member of the Senate Armed Services Committee, says the plan is probably just talk. This is USA Radio News. Breaking news at usaradio.com.
Have you been to conservativetribune.com? Now, this is one of the most visited news sites in the entire world, and the reason is simple. Conservativetribune.com delivers edgy and bold commentary of the news. They're unapologetically pro-America, unabashedly conservative. At conservativetribune.com, they don't make apologies for who they are or what they say. And if you're looking for more than just boring stories and simple thought, you go to conservativetribune.com. That's conservativetribune.com. Have you been to usaradio.com? The latest breaking stories, the hottest news, and the best radio all in one place. It's available for free on your smartphone, on your computer, and you can listen with your Bluetooth-enabled car. You can listen to classic radio theater, Daybreak USA with Angie Austin, and my new show that takes you from online to on air, your news feed on the radio, Trending Today USA with Rusty Humphrey. Check it out, usaradio.com. That's usaradio.com.
Speaker of the House Paul Ryan will be chairing the Republican National Convention in Cleveland in July and says he will run that event according to the rules and, quote, by the book. He talked about that at a press briefing this week, where he also says the rumors about him becoming a nominee for president need to stop. Here's senior correspondent Jason Wirt.
House Speaker Paul Ryan dismissed the claims of scoffers that while he says he won't run for president, he also said he wouldn't run for House Speaker.
Those are apples and oranges. Being Speaker of the House is a far cry from being President of the United States, specifically because I was already in the House. I'm already a congressman. So I was asked by my colleagues to take a responsibility within Congress that I've already been serving in from the one that I had.
Ryan added any delegate to the national convention should choose someone who has previously run for the presidency during this election cycle. I'm Jason Wirt.
This is USA Radio News. Breaking news online at usaradio.com.
I'm Sean Hare, the site director at conservativetribune.com. Conservative Tribune is one of the most visited news sites in the world, and the reason is simple. ConservativeTribune.com delivers edgy and bold commentary of the news every day. We are unapologetically pro-America, unabashedly conservative. At ConservativeTribune.com, we don't make apologies for who we are or what we say. If you're looking for more than boring stories and simple thought, visit ConservativeTribune.com. That's ConservativeTribune.com.
Texas affluenza teen Ethan Couch is facing almost 2 years in jail. A Tarrant County judge told Couch today he would have to spend the next 720 days behind bars, but noted he could reconsider the order in a couple weeks. Prosecutors are hoping to get the jail term extended as punishment for Couch's 2013 drunk driving crash, which left four people dead. They also believe Couch should stay behind bars after he fled to Mexico last December to skip out on a meeting with his probation officer.
No contract!
No peace!
No contract!
No peace!
Verizon workers in New York are among tens of thousands on the East Coast walking picket lines today. The largely landline and cable techs who went on strike say the company is trying to outsource jobs and cut their pensions. An elderly woman roughs it for over a week in the Arizona wilderness. Here's her story from USA's Chris Barnes.
An elderly woman was driving to Phoenix, Arizona back on the 31st of March, but that's when Ann Rogers ran out of gas.
For the next 9 days and nights, Rogers and her dog survived in the wilderness, drinking pond water and eating plants.
State police spokesman Raul Garcia saying aerial searchers found Rogers because she had erected a help sign on the floor of a canyon, also lit a signal fire not far away. She and her dog are expected to recover now. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
This is USA Radio News. Breaking news on USARadio.com.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
All right, welcome to Talented People again, second hour here. It's already 4:05 on April 13th. Hope you're having a great day. I'm going to give you the update real quick on the weather forecast. If you happen to be listening in the New Jersey area, specifically Central Jersey, this afternoon, sunny with a high of 58. Tonight, patchy frost about after 2 a.m. Otherwise, mostly clear.
Did you say
frost? Yeah, can you believe that?
Yes, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I can't believe that.
Yeah, that's not fair, right? Yeah. With a low around 34, sunny all day on Thursday with a high about 60, and then Thursday night, tomorrow night, mostly clear with a low of 32. Okay. We're still not out of the woods. Friday, sunny with a high of 61, and then mostly clear on Friday night, a low of 36. Sunny all day on Saturday, 64 is a high, clear and low of 37 Saturday night. Start warming up a bit. Sunday is going to be beautiful with a high of 73 and sunny. Clear again on Sunday night, low of 44, and then beautiful on Monday, as usual, when everybody's back to work, sunny with a high of 77. So this is Talented People again. It's already 4:06 on April 13th, and it is actually my pleasure, as usual, because I just love our guest today. Her name is Michelle Sakirka. She's been on the show many times before. She is the CEO and president of the New Jersey Business and Industry Association. She's made so many changes and is the leader of the state, if you ask me.
Oh, that's what I tell people. And Michelle Sakirka, my new best friend.
Yep.
She's the most important woman in New Jersey. Hey, Michelle.
She really is.
I know.
Yeah, Michelle's on the line there. Yeah. And
thanks.
You're hearing also a little feedback here because my co-host this hour is Ann Thornton. She's also going to be presenting at the upcoming Women's Leadership Summit 2016 at the Ryland Inn next week, April 19th. You have time to sign up, and Michelle is the keynote speaker on the lunch portion. It's the HunterdonChamber.org website that you can actually sign up. So Anne's in studio today. I asked her to stay for the extra hour because she knows Michelle, and we're just kind of so excited to hear from Michelle about what you're going to be speaking about and what's going on with New Jersey on your mind. So welcome to the show, Michelle.
Great. Thanks. Thanks, ladies. It's a pleasure. And everybody out there, it's always great to spend some time with you, Jeannie and Anne. So excited that you're with us today, too.
Thank you. I just told Jeannie about how we met, Michelle, and she got a big kick out of my email.
Love it.
Story.
I know.
It is. But you know what? It's all about connections, and there you go, and communications. And so actually, this is really interesting because Anne and I did meet in a unique way in that we had shared some information, and Anne had some questions about that information, and she directed, you know, that back to me without having met me. And, you know, I never shy away from the opportunity to learn more myself and be educated about things, but most important, about listening to my members and what's important to my members. And so I embraced Anne's comments back to me and then shared some further information with Anne, and Anne and I wound up, you know, having lunch and building a great relationship, and it probably started from a place that others might have shied away from a little bit in the face of controversy, and we turned that into being a really great relationship, right?
Yeah, and I so appreciate then you inviting me to be on your committee for your big women's event that's coming up in the fall. So
yeah, September 23rd is NJBIA's Women Business Leaders Forum. Yes.
I have to say that I was there last year, and I was telling Ann that I could not believe the people that you had in that room. There was like 450 women leaders from across the state of New Jersey, and it was amazing. But I do want to make sure I mention, as the little moderator of our conversation powwow right now, that it didn't surprise me, Michelle, in the slightest, when Ann was telling me about the story, because that is something that everyone should know about you, is that you are so receptive to hearing from, you know, your members, like you said, more than the norm. You know, if someone reaches out to you, you are like answering the phone. I know I called you once or twice. I needed something and it was important on a Saturday, and you called me back on a Saturday night. I was like, what the heck, you know? But that's because you do care. And that's one thing I really want everybody to know about Michelle, because you, being the CEO and president of NJBIA, a lot of people probably just think, oh my God, she's so untouchable. But she is the keynote speaker coming up this next week at the summit for leaders at the Ryland Inn. And also, I just really want you to know that, Michelle, that is something that is very special about you.
I appreciate that. And, you know, it's interesting. I was I had the opportunity today to address the Millville Chamber of Commerce. And what I always love sharing is the favorite part of my job is getting out amongst the members and not just being a talking head, but really hearing from the members what's important to them. I call it, you know, the boots on the ground. And I always say, you know, if our policymakers would spend more time in the community, in the business community, visiting businesses, seeing in practical, you know, way, in practical sense, how policies impact how people do business every day, I think they'd have a different perspective on things.
Absolutely.
I came to BIA, and I was, I got here, and BIA was an organization that is 105 years old, and they had a certain way of doing things, and the only way I could really get my arms around understanding whether or not we were meeting the needs of our members was going out, traveling the state, and listening to my members tell me their stories. And the information I gathered, you know, helped me and my team put a plan in place that is now allowing BIA to provide our members with a higher and much more responsive level of service. And actually, that led us to our new mantra, NJBIA is for a business like mine, because, you know, we understand what they need, we deliver it, and so someone steps back and says, wow, NJBIA is for a business like mine.
Love it. You know what, actually, if you don't mind, Michelle, can you tell everybody the story that you told at the Best Practices Nonprofit event about your husband and the Jersey Shore?
Oh, yeah, so that is the boots on the ground.
That's the best story.
Yeah, so when I was at DEP, in the wake of Superstorm Sandy, I was responsible for helping the commissioner and the governor put together programs, you know, really to rebuild the state of New Jersey and its precious infrastructure. Big part of that was the damage, you know, directly hit damage at the shore and the dunes and things like that. So, you know, the further and further away from the actual Sandy event it got, the harder and harder it was for people in the state of New Jersey to understand that we still had an emergency, that we still had people who were out of their homes, that we still had critical infrastructure that wasn't functioning. And so for me, in Trenton, it's really easy to forget about, you know, all the damage along the shore because I'm not there. So about every 4 to 5 weeks, I would drag my beloved husband, Neil. You know, we'd get in the car and I'd say, come on, Neil, it's time for our infrastructure tour. And we would drive down to the top of Route 35, and we would drive all the way down 35 all the way to Island Beach State Park, and we would stop and get out, and we'd walk, and we'd say, okay, this was done, this wasn't done, we still have this, we still have that. And for me, that's what kept the sense of urgency when I came back to Trenton on Monday morning, to know that when I woke up every morning, Sandy had to be the first thing on my mind.
It's just so sweet. All right, we're going to go to our first break already. It's Down to People here at 4:13 on April 13th. I hope you're having a great day. Michelle Sikorka, President and CEO of NJBIA, New Jersey Business Industry Association, on the line here, and Ann Thornton in studio here. She's the president of MSI. And we're going to go to quick break, and then we're going to talk about the Women's Leadership Summit and thoughts from Michelle just a second or two from now. It's just a short break. Stay with us. Thanks for listening in.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
All right, welcome back to Town to People. It's our pleasure today to feature our conversation with Michelle Sakirka on the line from New Jersey Business and Industry Association. It's 4:16 already on April 13th, and this event that's happening where Michelle is the keynote speaker next week at the Ryland Inn is April 19th, and you can sign up at huntertonchamber.org. So, again, we have in studio Ann Thornton, who's the opening ceremonies presenter, talking about networking and just amazing stuff. And then Michelle's going to tell us about what your lunch presentation keynote is about. Tell us, Michelle.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about leading effective organizations and what are some of the keys to leading effective organizations.
So give us a little bit of a hint.
The strategies. Okay, I don't want to give away too much.
Not too much, just a little hint.
Sure. So I would say, you know, whether you're new to an organization or you've been with an organization for a long time, I think any, you know, chief executive or someone in a leadership position faces both internal and external challenges in terms of dealing with their staff and coming up with creative ways to encourage change in an organization and making change be a positive is perhaps the most important task that someone can have. You know, if you have organizations or you've been in a leadership position in an organization in a long time, always making sure that your organization continues to be dynamic. So bringing, you know, change in order to ensure you have that ongoing sense of dynamism going is very important. And if you're new to an organization, chances are, like, you know, I did here and like many of us do, you're new to an organization, you go through a culture shift. And so what are some of the strategies to deal with in going through a culture shift and in managing change?
It is so important, and you're mm-hmm. nodding. You want to
yeah,
add to that
absolutely.
Too? I mean, I know that it's true. And Michelle, when you talk about even when you went into NJBIA and everybody there, how many employees do you have over there?
A little over 50.
Yes, that's a lot, and it's like, you know, to be able to walk in and then to get everybody on the same team.
Absolutely,
you know,
yeah, I'm always trying to do that myself, and. In my company, and probably like Michelle's too, people are in and out. I mean, the guys are always out working, so I don't see, you know, so it's hard for the communication, but you have to be on top of it because If you're not controlling the message, they are. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you want the message to be that this is a company that's positive and moving forward, and we're here to make, you know, to do the best we can for our customers. And if something goes wrong, well, we're the company that goes back, you
right.
know. So, it's really important, the communication and learning that whole culture.
And I know that, Michelle, you've mentioned that, you know, part of your leadership, you know, strategy is to actually let everybody know, you know, talk to me, tell me what's going on. What about that?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, when I arrived at BIA the very first day, we had a little bit like a town hall meeting, I guess, in our conference room. And, you know, coming in, I kind of said, all right, I have to set a tone on day one, so I really need to let everybody here know who I am and what's important to me and what my expectations are in terms of my relationships and communications with folks. And the first thing I said to everybody is I have zero tolerance for negative energy. I am all about creating, you know, a positive and enthusiastic environment. I think that relentless enthusiasm goes a long way toward creating relationships with your staff, especially a staff who may be reluctant to change. So, you know, telling people who you are, giving them a sense of how they can, best interact with you, I think you kind of take the shield down, and you it's nice to make yourself even maybe a little vulnerable in the beginning so that people can see who you are.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, Michelle, that's a very interesting point, because when you're talking about, and I'm just visualizing kind of what happened when you walked in there and so on, and I know that if there's a, the listeners out there should know that, again, you are going to be speaking about this and about women leadership at the summit, and so people can sign up, because one thing that I will not forget what you were saying about is where you said that you had zero tolerance and so on, but there's such a fine, hard balance when a woman walks in as the leader and wants to come across strong, like you said, you were, you know, even saying that maybe there's a certain vulnerability that you have to share to be able to present that so that everybody actually can really feel your sincerity. The leadership part, the guidance part, the rules part, and then not to have any kind of an overwhelming, I'm here, I'm the boss, and I'm going to do it. You know what I mean? And I think women struggle with that.
Mm-hmm.
Although it's not supposed to be gender one way or the other, and I'm not, of course, the person to talk about that. I'm only, as an observation, you know, saying it's just a very hard walk, you know?
Well, right, and, you know, we don't want to be men. I mean, I lead a very male-dominated organization, but I don't want to be a man.
In the plumbing
and remodeling. I'm a woman, mm-hmm. right, you know, and I bring a whole special set of management skills that not only to my organization and not only this woman, but women in general, we bring a special set.
Mm-hmm.
And that needs to be at the table.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, in my mind, that's one of our biggest issues today, is that there's not enough of the female mindset at the table of leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's government or business or social, whatever it is, we need that mindset, and we need to know that it's accepted and that it's wanted, you know, that people want us to be there. But at the same time, we should just be there.
Right.
You know,
absolutely.
And I mean, there are timid women and there are over-the-top women. There mm-hmm. are timid men, there are over-the-top men.
Mm-hmm.
But we should not be discounted just because, you know, we come in as a woman first. And I even see that with men sometimes,
mm-hmm.
that even the leader of, you know, my own company, you know, I feel that sometimes that they don't necessarily want to talk to me, or they'll want to talk to the fellow that's standing beside me, my partner. Well,
yeah, they
know, I'm the boss. You should be talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm pretty honest about it. I just call them on it.
Yeah.
And so that's where I'm coming from. Michelle, I've got something really funny to tell you. You ready? Okay, so when I started getting ready for my part of the speech for next week, I went to my scrapbook. Remember those before digital days when we used to actually, like, put stuff in scrapbooks? So I opened it up, and there was, from 1996, 20 years ago, the Women's Business Forum event that we put on for the chamber, and we had Kate White, who at that time was the editor-in-chief of Red Book Magazine. She went on to be the editor-in-chief of Cosmo for a long time. She's big, and she, write, you know, she writes fiction and nonfiction. And she had published a book that she was promoting, and it was called Why Good Girls Don't Get Ahead and Gutsy Girls Do. How's that sound? Yeah. And so 20 years ago, this is what she said, that gutsy the attributes of a gutsy girl. She said that gutsy girls break the rules. She said that they are their own public relations agents because, you know, women don't like to talk about their achievements and their accomplishments. I love to talk about my achievements and accomplishments and my goals, you know. Something that I think is really important, she said that gutsy girls don't take setbacks personally, but instead they just get over it. And that's so important in business. And that's taken me years to learn. I don't have near as many sleepless nights as I used to.
Yeah.
Because I just get over it and move on.
I think, and I want to hear Michelle's take on this, but I can say, like, to me, it's like that. It's not about how you fall down, it's how you get up. And I don't know if it's gutsy or if it's just that you learn over the years yeah. and you don't have to be like crazy, but you do have to get up.
Right. You got to get up.
What do you think, Michelle?
Oh, no, you're absolutely right. And I tell folks around here that all the time, too. You know, when you're, especially, and again, when you're doing new things and you're not sure how they're going to turn out and people enter, you know, they get out of their comfort zone. And I always say to folks, look, you know, if you stumble, we're here to help you get up. Let's learn why you stumbled. Let's not repeat it, right? That's the key.
Exactly.
Is we all make mistakes. Nobody's perfect, okay? Learn from your mistake. Don't repeat it. If it gets repeated, then we have a problem. But you know what? Like, we believe how our culture here that we're trying to establish at BIA is, you know, empower everybody to be their own leader, to be their own decision maker, enable them to make those decisions, give them the tools they need, and then, you know, let them fly. And you know what? Sometimes they're gonna stumble. And I tell them, if you stumble, we're here to help you get back up.
Mm-hmm.
But just don't stumble the second time by making the mistake again. That's all. So.
Just make a different mistake.
Yeah. There's room for them to be made.
I've made so many different mistakes.
So true.
Yeah. And the last thing, let me just say that, because I think women really need to learn this and practice this. Kate White said that a gutsy girl asks for what she wants. And so many times we get there, but then we don't ask. We don't ask for the raise. We don't ask for the job. We don't ask for the leadership position. We don't, you know, we do everything else, but we don't make the final ask. And I tell you, that's so important that for women to learn, because you know, you got to make the ask, period.
Yeah. Yep. It's the most important part. You're right. We get right up to the door, and then we lose our confidence to kind of take that last step through.
Exactly.
So, you know, so many personal examples of that. As you're saying it, I'm running stories through my head, and then I remind myself, I'm like, yeah, Michelle, if you didn't take that last step, you wouldn't have then accomplished X, Y, or Z. So it's the whole thing of, you never want to have the feeling when you look back at something to say woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You never want to have a regret about not having done something. So, you know, yeah, be gutsy, right? Be gutsy and walk through that door.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, and I got to add to that, too, because I really love what you were just saying right now. I could picture 100 times, too. And I think as a little older mentors to mm-hmm. those that mm-hmm. listen, and this goes to guys, too. Asking for the order is probably the most important and only thing I've learned in my plus 50 mm-hmm. old lady years. It's not about – it's almost like you lose a little credibility after a while if you're talking to somebody and you don't – you know, you don't ask if you're looking, like you said, for the job, or if you're doing whatever it is you want to do, or if you just want to get a paycheck from somebody, you know. It's like when you do ask for the order – there's a certain level of change that happens. And I don't know, for me at least, it's something I've learned over the years to become a more confident person. But now I'm like almost the other way, where someone has to tell me, Jeannie, shut up, stop asking for the money. But it's like, hello, it's yeah. important to be confident enough
and
to
it's
know
not,
that you're doing something of value.
Sure. And it's not only asking, you know, I mean, for the traditional order to mm-hmm. make money, but it's women, let's say they work in, you know, a big corporation and, you know, there's a special committee. Well, you have to ask to get on that committee
so
that people will see your work, so that they'll see, you know, who you are and how you approach whatever the issues are the committee is working on. So, or a leadership position mm-hmm. or something. You know, it's not always just asking to make a sale. It's asking to put yourself in a new place.
And to realize that you are bringing a value.
And that you're confidence. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
The whole confidence thing is mm-hmm. so important. And Michelle, Jean and I were in Baltimore last weekend for the National WPO conference. We
Michelle,
told you about it.
Michelle Heidi.
Yeah.
Well, Jean is somebody
somebody else.
Michelle knows.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, there were 900 women there of all, you know, all the owning these multi-million dollar companies. And Amy Cuddy was there. Have you seen her speak? She's the one from Harvard who does the TED Talk, and she does about the power posing and the physicality. Oh, you should go on and see her. She's amazing, an amazing speaker. But she talks about in particular, that this power pose, that, you know, it's like the winning, you know, if you want to run across the finish line, you throw your hands up. I mean, it's a natural winning position. People, blind people do it. She said, I mean, she had pictures from all over the world.
Really?
All people do it. Yeah. And so they've done these studies, because she's a Harvard researcher, where if women or anybody, but particularly women, will do these power poses for only 2 minutes, like before you go into an interview or before you're going to ask somebody for whatever, right? You go into the bathroom or somewhere private and you do this power pose, or you could put your hands above, or you can do kind of like the Wonder Woman pose.
Wow.
For 2 minutes. And they have, and their studies show that your testosterone will rise by 20%. 20%.
I believe it.
So that you will feel more confident. Mm-hmm. So just a little tidbit like that.
About even just speaking on the phone. Like, yeah. If Michelle's on the remote phone, it's better to stand up and speak. Exactly. On an interview or whatever.
Oh, right. So she was an amazing speaker. Gosh, if you could get her for your September thing, oh my gosh.
Man, wow.
Yeah, you should look her up. CUDDY. She was really, really amazing.
And also, yeah, that's good information. Michelle, can you tell us a little bit about, you know, from your lens, you know, with the whole state of New Jersey and otherwise, because I know it's not just that for you, but what is going on trending-wise out there with women in business?
Well, we are definitely seeing more women rise. You know, if you do the statistics, you can see that the numbers are going up, but, you know, they're not going up as fast as they should, and we're still lagging. If you think about it, I think the population of the state of New Jersey is women, you know, may even outpace men slightly in terms of the population of folks in the workforce. And yet, you know, men are outpacing women at the senior ranks. So, you know, we have to work on, and everybody always says, oh my God, it's 2016. Do we still really need to talk about women, you know, women's leadership? Well, the way we approach it is we need to talk about leadership. And
right.
Leadership skills need to be built in people.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to women, we can't ignore the fact that women are still lagging, not just in the C-suite, but in the boardroom, something I'm very passionate about, getting more women in the boardroom.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's about ensuring that, you know, number one, you have the right skill set, because the number two is visibility. But having visibility means nothing if you can't deliver. So you got to have yourself, you know, your skill set all built up, all ready to go. Like, you got to be the package. But then being the package doesn't mean anything if nobody sees it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So be the package, and then now let's get visibility to you being the package so that we can get that package delivered to the boardroom, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to get a break real quick. Perfect words to think about for the next couple of minutes here. We're going to a short break. Michelle Sikorka, President and CEO of NJBIA, New Jersey Business and Industry Association, is calling in. And we also have Ann Thornton, President of MSI Plumbing and Remodeling here in Central New Jersey. Both, of course, Michelle's the keynote at lunch. And then Ann is going to be presenting opening the Leadership Summit coming up next week at April 19th. Look online at HunterandChamber.org. We're going to go quick to the break. We'll be right back.
Radio News with Audrey Strong.
They slammed on their brakes on Magazine Street, did not believe they even hit the Hummer. There's no damage to that car, and they went on about their business. So there was no hit and run in this case.
The attorney for Will Smith's family speaking out, saying the former New Orleans Saints player did not hit a Hummer with his vehicle before he was shot and killed Saturday night. Attorney Peter Thompson says a Hummer stopped suddenly in front of Smith's SUV, but there wasn't any contact. He says Smith drove away from the Hummer because he feared for his family's safety. Democratic presidential contender Bernie Sanders getting a big endorsement today from a labor union. The nod comes from the New York transit workers.
We are going to fight to do exactly what your union has done and bring pay equity.
Sanders says stronger unions will help boost the struggling middle class. Sanders is campaigning ahead of New York's big primary next week. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Joan London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit. Until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with the local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-7591. That's 1-800-469-7591.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with the local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-7591. That's 1-800-469-7591.
Call today.
All right, welcome back to the show. It's Talented People. It's 4433 on April 13th. We have the president and CEO of NJBIA, Michelle Sekirka, calling in on the line. She's been on the show before. I always enjoy having her on because I think she's such a real person and she's got so much going on and she's such a leader for the state of New Jersey. And then we also have my guest host as well, Ann Thornton, president of MSI Plumbing and Remodeling in studio. She's going to be opening ceremonies at the Women's Leadership Summit, and then Michelle's going to be keynote speaking.
I have a question for Michelle.
Go ahead.
Michelle, how can we harness all these women business owners in New Jersey through BIA somehow?
Well, I think we're working on that on the committee that that you're on with me, Ann. You know, the idea of this Women Leaders Council that's working with us to set up our next Women Business Leaders Forum, what we talked about, and we had like, you know, 30, 40 women, I think, engaged, is that BIA can truly serve to be a liaison, a facilitator, maybe a one-stop of all opportunities around women's leadership in the state. So we know that we have the WPO group, we have, which is the Women Presidents owners that you mentioned a few minutes ago, Ann.
Yep.
We know that we have Leading Women Entrepreneurs, which is another great women's leadership program, but specifically focused toward entrepreneurs.
Right.
We have Executive Women of New Jersey, which is specifically focused to women in executive positions. And yet we have Najabo. Like, we have all these different types of entities, and they all focus in a particular vertical, I would suggest, like geared toward a particular woman and a particular station in her career, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now what we can do is we can bring all those together through the horizontal and giving the opportunity for women who are up and coming to know where all the different opportunities for women's leadership in the state are relative to who's out there doing the programs, building the skills, creating the visibility, etc.
Right. I think I sent you that website, remember, from Seattle, I think it was, that it was almost like tourism, but the way it was set up, it was an idea for BIA to, you know, organize all this information, because that's the thing. You don't want to have to go to 15 different websites, right, to find out what this group is, that group. If somehow BIA could become that you know, source for all of that information, I just think that would be tremendous. And getting back to kind of mentoring young women in business and setting up, you know, is so important. I mean, these young women coming up into business need us to help them navigate the waters, and anything that we can do or that your group can do to put, you know, women who are already in leadership positions with new graduates or, you know, new whatever it is, I think would be tremendous.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. We do a lot of work at BIA on workforce development, so we work very closely with our colleges, whether it's community college or four-year institutions or even career and technical education. And, you know, within that space, we have a lot of opportunity to make connections for young women. I mean, I do it all the time. I think just this past week I had 3 different calls with college students around, you know, questions they had about, you know, looking for that, you know, informal mentoring, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we need to do. We need to make ourselves available. You know, we even talk about even going further down. We have great organizations in the state, well, nationally even, you know, Girl Scouts. You know, the Girl Scouts of today is not the Girl Scouts of when I was a brownie and a, you know, and a junior and a senior. Girl Scouts today is really about hardcore leadership skills at a young age. And if you see the types of programs that, you know, Girl Scouts does now, we should be, you know, literally partnering right down to Girl Scouts and saying, let's get these girls some visibility to who are the women, who are the mover and shakers, and build those relationships now for the future.
I agree. And I think when we were at your meeting, somebody had a statistic about Girl Scouts and who grow up to, you know, that almost every woman leader was a Girl Scout, something like that. Wasn't that right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, you hear about it more, you hear about more with men when you have men who are recognized or honored or they're CEOs, and you always see on their resume Eagle Scout.
Right, right. Yeah. Right.
And there's
yep.
all this notoriety around Eagle Scout. Well, in Girl Scouts, it's called the Gold Award. The Gold Award never got attention like that. I mean, when I was a young girl, nobody talked to me about the Gold Award, you know, because I bet you I would have been one going for the Gold Award.
Yeah, I bet you would have, too.
I believe that's a fact, for
it
sure.
Didn't have, it didn't have the same connotation of, like, you know, being an Eagle Scout. And so those are, that, and that's a really good example of, you know, how things are different maybe for the genders. But, yeah, absolutely. It's those are the types of things that we should be, you know, shining a light on and bringing up those next generations.
I have to laugh a little bit because I had this guest. She's another one of the people on the Leadership Summit. I never met her before. Her name is Maria Joyce. She's an etiquette consultant. She's an excellence trainer, and she has a business. She's going to be one of the breakout sessions, and she was on the show a couple weeks ago. And I asked her off the air. I said, you know, hey, you know, because she's got all this, you know, since 1972, like she's been doing this, and it's amazing what she's been doing and leading women. And I said to her, you know, what do you think is going to happen? Like, push forward 50 years. Do you have any idea what it looks like, you know, for women? And she's like, you know, I'm going to have to think about that, you know? And I was like, well, I don't know anything about it because, like, I'm just sitting here in the radio station listening to you guys talk about this stuff and watching. And I'm like, to me, I'm afraid for men. That's how I feel. I'm like, well, okay, this is really awesome stuff. But, you know, when it hits, it's going to be a wild ride because it is amazing what you guys are doing. I have to thank you really on behalf of myself and all the other women out there and the young future women and everything else. But it is true. It's like, you know, there's a lot of talent there and a lot of underutilized skills. And, you know, where do you go and how do we grow? And it's going to be interesting to see. What do you think about 50 years from now, Michelle?
Well, you know, some things will definitely change. Other things always stay the same. So one thing that's going to always stay the same is that women are the child bearers and
yeah.
women are the moms.
Mm-hmm.
That's never going to change. You know, maybe the role of parenting between a husband and a wife, or just between two parents, whether they're a husband and wife or not, is going to continue to change a little bit more with a little more dual responsibility.
Which is
but
awesome.
One thing that's never ever going to change is that, you know, women are the child bearers, and that does bring a whole unique set of circumstances into building your career. And I would never, ever, you know, tell a young girl that that's easy and that, you know, you can pick the perfect time to have your family and your career and it's going to, you know, all work out. Those are challenges that always have to be balanced and juggled.
Absolutely. You say it so well, too. And you're a mother of two, right?
24-year-old twins, yes.
So cute. All right, let's go to...
They were cute when they were 7. They're 24 and they're both back home, okay?
Oh, that's too funny. All things happen and change in a year, right?
Yes.
Oh, that's too funny, Michelle. All right, hold on 1 second. We're going to go to our break just so we can finish up the last segment talking to Michelle. I want you to tell us, Michelle, when we get back from the break, things that are going on in New Jersey that you're, you know, advocating and working for on all of our behalves, and also anything else that you want to talk about the Leadership Summit. So we're going to go real quick. It's going to be about 2 minutes. We'll be right back. Talented people, thanks so much for listening. Ends 441.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Hi, welcome back to the show. It's Talented People. 444 already on April 13th, and we have Michelle Sikorka, President and CEO of NJBIA, New Jersey Business and Industry Association, on the line, and also Ann Thornton, who's the president of MS Plumbing and Heating here in Lebanon, New Jersey, which is the Clinton area, both being on the presenting schedule for the upcoming 7th Annual Leadership Summit at Ryland Inn in White House next week on the 19th. And you can still sign up. It's brought to you by Unity Bank, Ameriprise Financial, Hunterdon and Radiology Associates, and also Hunterdon Chamber. So online, hunterdonchamber.org to sign up. All right, you there, Michelle?
I am.
All right, thanks again for waiting through the commercial. So tell us a little bit more about what's going on and what you're going to be talking about or anything else you want to share with everybody for the last couple minutes here.
Well, before the break, you asked me to talk a little about what's going on in New Jersey, so mm-hmm. I'll give you a little policy update. There's a lot going on in New Jersey, as a matter of fact. Our policymakers are keeping us rather busy when it comes to business climate issues. Right now, the business community is looking at the threat of a couple of constitutional mandates, one being a constitutional mandate to fund the public worker pension at $3 billion per year and to make that kind of a super priority budget payment over everything else. That's very concerning. It's concerning that we have a pension problem in the state of New Jersey to start. Certainly, we need to pay that obligation to those who earned it. So I'm not suggesting in any way that we don't owe those who earned their pension. However, making a constitutional mandate to fund that at a significant level, which is about 10% of our general operating budget in the state of New Jersey, makes it a super priority over, you know, all our other safety net programs. And we got enough problems balancing our budget in the state of New Jersey. So that could only mean that we're going to have an increase in taxes or a cut in other services, and that's a concern. One other big issue on our radar screen right now is a discussion around mandating a $15 minimum wage. And, you know, similar, while those who are talking about this have all good intentions because, no, we don't want anyone to live in poverty in the state of New Jersey or anywhere else, a $15 minimum wage is not the answer. It's an arbitrary number. No economist across the nation has done a study on the economic impact of a $15 minimum wage. It's making people very nervous. This is a train that has left the station out in California. It's a train that's barreling down in New York right now. And we know already that in Seattle, Washington, where they were now just getting to $12 an hour, they're already having negative ramifications on their jobs.
Can you give an example of I know it's probably the most basic thing on the answer, but negative ramification, what would that mean?
So an increase in the minimum wage to $15, if you're paying a minimum wage earner today, you're paying them $8.38. So you're talking about an 80% increase in your cost of doing business, in your labor costs. Now, the only way a company makes that up is one of two ways. They either increase the cost of the product or service that they're delivering, so it'll cost more for people to buy that product, okay, because they have to make more money, obviously, to pay the labor, or they cut their expenses. There's only two sides to a balance sheet for a company, right? There's your revenue and there's your expense. A company cutting their expense means they're cutting jobs or they're cutting hours for workers. That's where they go. So, you know, we've heard from our members. We've polled our members. We've talked to our members. And you think about folks who are in minimum wage jobs and what the impact could be. So I have one example. We have a manufacturing company who has a defense contract. And he's got folks who are making less than $15 an hour. He's got a five-year contract. He can't renegotiate the terms of his contract. He's in big trouble. He's going to lose that contract or go out of business.
Or we're in big trouble if he's defense. Yeah. You know, I'm kind of worried about that. No, and it's not. It's really not even funny. And I swear to you, Michelle, every time that we've had a chance to talk, if it's on TV or on the radio, and you bring these issues up, I just can't. I don't understand. I don't know if it's, and I know you do. You poll your 20,000 members and you get such amazing feedback. And then you go out really yourself with your company, NJBIA, and try to advocate for these, you know, changes to not be so extreme in so many ways. Like, you know, I can't imagine, I know I've told you this before as a business owner, having to change my, you know, minimum wage. It's not like I don't want to give more money to the employees that work with me. I'd give them all the money I possibly have. But how do you do it? And like you said, the ramifications of it is frightening. There's,
well, you know what, Jeannie? Like every job has a value. All right, this is economics 101, okay? Mm-hmm. So a minimum wage job only has a certain value. If you artificially inflate the value of that job, then you've got to artificially inflate other things to keep up with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's not only the person who's at minimum wage who's getting the pay increase, but now what do you do with the person who is three levels above them, who's making more money? They come to you and they say, I want my 80% increase. What's with that? You just increased the value of their job, then you're telling me my job's no longer more valuable than them.
That is Michelle, a nightmare. That is a nightmare. Sorry, yeah. I didn't even think of that.
Has there been any studies about if they increase the minimum wage to, you know, the 15 or whatever that... that people will see it as, oh, okay, well then I don't have to work so hard to get ahead. I don't need to go get that extra certification or education, you know, the moving up, trying to move up in the world to try to make more money, because that's, of course, was always my goal. I started out at minimum wage all those years ago, but, you know, the goal was always to get smarter and get more education and make more money. So, I mean, will there be, do you see impact there?
Well, that's exactly the discussion that we are trying to have. We're trying to say to our policymakers, $15 minimum wage is not the formula. What the formula is incentivizing workforce development programs to help people to build their skills so that when they go into the minimum wage job, very quickly they're moving on to something else because they're building their skills and they're working their way up the ladder, just like you did, Jeannie. Hey, I flipped burgers at Burger King when I was 16 years old. There is no way someone's paying me $15 at the age of 16 to flip burgers.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
Right. Exactly. You know, one thing I got to say about Michelle as well, like, you know, just even have this conversation, it's only been so short, but one of the things that I love about having you on the show is you take such complicated matters and bring them to us and are able to articulate them. You know, you're an attorney and you are able to just speak with the, you know, political side of the state and advocate for all these businesses, like you talk about defense companies, if it's manufacturing, if it's insurance or whatever, and then just tell us what's the deal. I just can never believe it when I hear it, because I'm like, I don't know. So what do you think is going to happen?
Well, we're going to do our best to keep continuing to bring the horror stories of what the impact will be to our policymakers, bringing our members to our policymakers to tell the story. And to that regard, this is all about grassroots, right? You all got to tell the story. So we just recently launched a new organization called Opportunity New Jersey. It's Opportunity NJ. And this is in partnership with the State Chamber and other business associations across the state of New Jersey. This is the type of grassroots issues advocacy organization that will do campaigns into our communities and into our workplaces to educate the general electorate about the impacts of policies just like the two that I was talking about. And the idea is, first, we educate the general electorate, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Voter of New Jersey. And then the second thing we do is we empower them to pick up the phone and call their legislator directly and say, hey, this is what this means to me, and I vote. And that's what a grassroots campaign is. So opportunitynj.org, you can check out the website. You can sign up to receive some information from us. You can make a donation because this is for a campaign. You don't become a member. This is going to be a campaign, and we are out there. We're going to be soliciting donations for Opportunity NJ. And we're going to be, you know, sharing information and being in every community, talking to every soccer mom and saying, you know what the loss of a job in New Jersey means to you and what it means to your family. And hopefully we're going to get some traction from there.
I wish that that was the end of the show because it's the perfect thing to leave on, but you still have a couple more minutes. So I'm going to ask you to thank you for that. And again, Opportunity NJ, let's everybody write that down. Michelle, can you give us like any updates on what's going on with like, I know when you came in, you were talking and you kind of frightened me a little bit about that minimum wage and with the taxes being increased if this happens and that happens. And like you said, we already have a disaster here that we have to fix. What's going on with real estate and all that?
Yeah, so, you know, let me say, look, we talked a little bit of doom and gloom here. We're getting to the end of the show. I always like to finish positive.
Yay! That's a good point. Go ahead. Yeah, that's what you're good at. Yep.
That's one of my goals always. So, you know, New Jersey businesses came into 2016 being cautiously optimistic for their own ability to generate profits, to sell more products, to create new jobs, to hire more people. The New Jersey businesses feel good about 2016. They came off of a solid 2015 where they told us they did make those profits and they did create those jobs. This is the third year in a row that we're having positive growth in New Jersey. That's great news. So, look, New Jersey is a great place. You know, Jeannie, I say all the time, I'm a Jersey girl at heart. I want to see New Jersey do well. We've got great stuff going on in the state. So let's not think it's all doom and gloom. However, right, it's the long-term outlook that makes me really, really nervous because we're already fragile. Our competitiveness is at question right now. People leave the state of New Jersey because we're a highly taxed state and it's very expensive to live here. And the more we pile on, the more difficult we make it. So we need to recapture our competitiveness. We need to be beating Pennsylvania out, not vice versa. And that's what our concern is keeping New Jersey competitive for all New Jersey businesses and for all New Jersey residents so that we can have affordability here to live, work, and play.
Well, I just want you to know that everybody out there, I want everybody to know that's Michelle Sikirka talking right now, CEO, President of NJBIA, New Jersey Business Industry Association. I am your cheerleader, and I know everybody out there is listening. And if you really want to end on a positive note, I want to tell you that I don't think that we could be in any better hands than yours, Michelle. I love your positivity. I love the way that you're right about everything you talk about. And I just want to thank you. And I want everybody to know I'm serious about this. I have been hosting the show for over 3 years. I've had the leaders of the Women's Summit on, as our listeners know, for the last 6 weeks. And I'm so excited about this event. I literally changed, I swear to you, a really important meeting that I had that I waited a year for because I just, you know, I was like, oh my God, the more I was listening to everybody and what they're going to be talking about next week on the 19th Tuesday, we switched Colleen and I, my business partner, and we're going to the meeting and we can't wait to see the Women's Leadership Summit. So anyway, I want to thank Ann Thornton here, President MSI Plumbing and Remodeling, for being co-hosting this hour.
Thank you. It was great.
And we're looking forward to your presentation, 10 Reasons to Connect Like Crazy, on the 19th at the Women's Summit. And I also want to, again, thank you, Michelle. Really, you're just a great leader to our state.
Thanks. Thanks so much, Jeannie. It's a pleasure. And Anne, it was great spending an hour with you today.
You too. I'll see you next week.
And on behalf of all of our listeners, thank you both so much. And you take care, Michelle. And for you out there listening, I just want to let you know, it is going to be really something. I don't know if you've ever seen Michelle and the rest of the speakers in person, but next week, I can't emphasize enough how amazing these women are. Starts at 8 o'clock, ends at 2 o'clock, a lunch keynote from 11:45 to 2 o'clock, and you can just sign up at the Chamber. So it's time to go here, 4:57. Hope you had a great day. Hope you enjoyed our shows today. Ann Thornton, I just loved meeting you.
Thank you. Very nice to meet you, too.
Really, something else to learn all about these women, and especially you. And all. I just love the story about Arkansas and New York. So I hope you guys did, too. We'll be back next week with more information on the Leadership Summit on Talented People. Have a great week.
Radio News with Audrey Strong.
They slammed on their brakes on Magazine Street, did not believe they even hit the Hummer. There's no damage to that car, and they went on about their business. So there was no hit and run in this case.
The attorney for Will Smith's family speaking out, saying the former New Orleans Saints player did not hit a Hummer with his vehicle before he was shot and killed Saturday night. Attorney Peter Thompson says a Hummer stopped suddenly in front of Smith's SUV, but there wasn't any contact. He says Smith drove away from the Hummer because he feared for his family's safety. Democratic presidential contender Bernie Sanders getting a big endorsement today from a labor union. The nod comes from the New York transit workers.
We are going to fight to do exactly what your union has done and bring pay equity.
Sanders says stronger unions will help boost the struggling middle class. Sanders is campaigning ahead of New York's big primary next week. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Joan London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit. Until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-7591. That's 1-800-469-7591.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-7591.
Clinton's now telling Cosmopolitan magazine the skit was de Blasio's. I'm John DeMaster for USA Radio News, online at usaradio.com.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HuntertonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the